is the Rob Carson Show. Are you ready to be pod-smacked? Now, here's Rob Carson.
Episode number 95. 95 of the podcast. Hello and welcome to it. We got a lot of stuff to get to. The passing of a voice of a generation. I'm going to share some details on Chris Cornell, who was just one of my idols. And he passed away in Detroit last night. Today is the 18th of May. So we'll get to that. We'll have some audio from that. A lot of impeachment talk on Donald Trump with absolutely no proof that he's done anything impeachable. We'll get to some of the bat crap crazy audio from Democrats and others about that. And of course, the sharks on late night television are diving all over it as well. So it's kind of an insult to those of us who voted for Donald Trump. Not my number one choice. Yes, but I voted for him. I voted for his agenda. What I saw as a change that America needed, and the long knives have been out for him since before he was candidate. I'm sick and damn tired of it. So we'll get to that on the show. I want to thank RedMaryland.com for featuring the podcast on their terrific, terrific website. Thank you, Red Maryland. Also want to thank my local sponsor, and we are adding sponsors, by the way, but right now our main sponsor is Grass Monsters KC. I got a call yesterday from a guy who was interested in the Dixie Chopper in my garage, and I said, well, you got to go talk to Andrew Cook at Grass Monsters KC. They're on Raytown Road in Raytown, and look at a new Silver Eagle from Dixie Chopper. Look at maybe a Hustler mower. Silver Eagles are made, and I should say all of the Dixie Chopper mowers, the Classic, the Black Hawk, all of them are made in Indiana, and they're terrific. Hustler mowers are made in Kansas. So no matter where you live, you can get them. But in the Midwest, right near the Kansas City area, it's Grass Monsters KC, okay? 5520 Raytown Road. If you want a residential mower or a commercial mower, I wouldn't get anything else. They're fantastic. Also, just want to mention something. Saturday, May 20th, at Mulberry Lake Briarcliff Village, they're doing their Briar Fest. There are 5 bands on stage, 15 breweries in the beer garden, 75 samples, local food trucks, some things for the kids to do, bounce houses, a bunch of other stuff. I'm going to be out there starting at 3 in the afternoon. So starting at 3 in the afternoon, and it goes until about 10 o'clock, Lonnie McFadden wrapping up the music. Saturday night at around 8:45 is going to be taking the stage. It's going to be a really good time. So make sure to check it out. Briar Fest, Saturday, May 20th. Just Google that if you need any information on that. Let's talk about Chris Cornell. Chris Cornell of Audio Slave, Soundgarden, Temple of the Dog, the voice of my generation, the older end of Generation X, 52 years old. He ended his final show in Detroit with a performance of In My Time of Dying, and apparently shared dark Facebook posts just before he is suspected to have committed suicide. It sucks. I hate it. He was one of the people that I had a real admiration for him. And he was one of the people, you know, when you do media, a lot of the times you don't get too, you know, freaked out about celebrity because, you know, they poop like you and me, all right? They're people. Chris Cornell was somebody who I really wanted to meet, and I just wanted to hang out with him. Here are some of the lyrics from the last song that Chris Cornell performed, and I'll just quote. This is from the UK Daily Mail article. In my time of dying, I want nobody to mourn. All I want for you to do is take my body home. Well, 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 so I can die easy. That sucks. If he did kill himself, Layne Staley, Alice in Chains, he OD'd, Kurt Cobain. We all know the story of that. These were all voices of my generation, and it's sad. If it was a suicide, it's just tragic. He had some substance abuse issues. He had been treated for alcoholism and all that stuff. But God bless him. God bless Chris Cornell. Here's a little montage of some of Soundgarden, of some of Chris Cornell's music. Here it is.
Blood is on the table and the mouths are choking. I'm going hungry.
Black Hole Sun, won't you come? Wash away the rain. Black Hole Sun, won't you come? Won't you come?
Now we're
Chris Cornell, 52 years old. Cornell worked with Tom Morello, and they came from, he came from Rage Against the Machine, and they created Audioslave. I remember Audioslave, they had their debut album, and it came out right about the same time that Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ came out. And some of the songs on that album seemed to me to have some sort of a divine influence. Not meaning that, the word of God spoke to it, but it just seemed like it was like, show me how to live. You gave me life, now show me how to live. It was a great album. Set It Off. There's another, Set It Off by Children, Set It Off. And it reminded me of, I don't know, you should listen to the lyrics. Like, listen to this. This is Set It Off from Audioslave's first album. He was standing at the rock, gathering the flock, getting there with no directions, and underneath the arch, it turned into a march, and there he found the spark to set this effer off. Set it off, my children. At the very end, it says, Jesus at the back door, everything is all right. Kind of interesting. Show Me How to Live is another song, and that song has really impacted me, and I've heard it so many times. This is my go-to workout song when I need it. Now listen to this, and again, listen to the lyrics to this. Nail in my hand from my creator, you gave me life, now show me how to live. Nail in my hand. Okay, that's a Christ reference, right? And with the early dawn moving right along, I couldn't buy an eyeful of sleep. And then the aching night under satellites, I was not received, built my stolen parts, a telephone in my heart. Someone get me a priest to put my mind to bed that's ringing in my head. Is this a cure or if it's a disease? Nail in my hand for my creator. You gave me life. Now show me how to live. It had religious implications. And I just wish I could have talked to him about it because I was curious. And those songs impacted me. And like I said, they came out right about the same time. The album came out right when the Mel Gibson movie came out. And I don't know if there was some sort of collaboration there. Whatever. Anyway, here's Chris Cornell talking with Tom Morello, who, by the way, disagree with his politics profoundly. He's a very left of center dude, but he's a brilliant guitarist. He makes the guitar sing in a unique way that no one else has been able to. Here they are talking about the name Audioslave, where it came from.
Hi, I'm Chris Cornell from Audioslave.
This is Tom Morello from Audioslave. The name Audioslave occurred to Chris Cornell in a vision, and you don't stand in the way of something like that. You'd be a fool to try.
Yeah. Here's a little bit of a montage from his last show. This is in Detroit. I'm gonna play a little bit of it. It's recorded on cell phone video, so it's not the best. Unfortunately, I never got to see him in concert. He was they were just in town at Starlight last Saturday and didn't get a chance to see him. But here he is. I guess this is a few days, maybe the day of his death, talking a little bit about music and where it comes from in him.
There's this kind of element of sort of finding that character that is the singer of the songs. That happens first, and figuring out what that person is singing, and how close is that to me. And I think the more challenging the material, the closer that person becomes to me, but also there's more of a sort of desperate nature to that person. In my mind, I'm writing a soundtrack to an imaginary world. Always, whatever that is. And I'm choosing different worlds over the course of my career, and this record was no different. But discovering what that world is to write a soundtrack to, I think, took a little time.
I like the way he wrote. Some of the songs, like I said, by Soundgarden and by Audioslave, just they are a part of the soundtrack to my life, and I just think they're incredible. Here's a little... one more little snippet of music. This is from The Day I Tried to Live Audioslave. Oh, no, this is Soundgarden, actually. His voice. That's what really sucks. This voice is silent now.
Dang it.
Some great stuff, man. It really wrote some great stuff. Okay. All right, let's move on to some other stuff. There's a lot of talk about Donald Trump being impeached. A lot of talk about it. A lot of people going bat crap crazy over the possibility of an impeachment of Donald Trump. And this started before he was even the damn candidate. Democrats are going absolutely nuts. The media is smelling blood in the water. None of this, by the way, is impeachable. Nothing that he has done has been impeachable. There's a report that he supposedly gave up some classified information to the Russians when they were in the White House on Monday. And every Democrat is looking for some excuse. We've heard it from certainly Maxine Waters. She's been talking about it since before the man was even sworn in. And I got to tell you, it really pisses me off. It really, really pisses me off. Here is a montage of all of the impeachment talk in the last 24 hours or so with regard to Donald Trump.
Welcome back. You're watching MSNBC. I'm Stephanie Ruhle. The calls are growing for the ouster of President Trump. Another member of Congress wants him impeached.
Is that potentially...
This is all freaking wishful thinking. This is all a rejection of what you and I voted for. Assuming that, of course, you voted for Donald Trump. I voted for Donald Trump. He was the candidate. I said I'd vote for him. And toward the end of his campaign, I really, really liked what he was saying. And thus far, we've seen the lowest unemployment rate in 20 years. We had reports out of Atlanta, the GDP at 4%, up 4% GDP growth in the last quarter. Okay, we've seen illegal immigration flowing across the southern border cut by 70% without building the wall. I like what I'm seeing. He kicked Syria's ass when they were dropping chemical weapons on there. Bashar Assad was dropping chemical weapons on his people. He sent 60 Tomahawk cruise missiles in to kick their ass. I like what the man is doing, but the Democrat Party can't stomach the fact that their princess from hell, Hillary Clinton, got her ass handed to her. Because all they were concerned about is the East and West Coast and could have given a rat's behind about those in the middle of the country who were suffering under Barack Obama and the Democrats.
Impeachable if it's an obstruction of justice?
I think we're going to have to look into it a little bit further.
You were saying that this could lead down the road to impeachment, but we weren't anywhere near that yet. Does this breaking news tonight change your view on that?
Are we getting closer and closer to the possibility of yet another impeachment process?
This is a witch hunt. It has been a witch hunt since day one. This 120 days in. If this were Barack Obama, then the world would be upside down going after this guy before he's had a chance to do dick in the White House. 120 days in, and all they can do is think about getting him out of office by any way, shape, or form. This is a witch hunt. And he said this yesterday at a speech before Coast Guard Academy graduation. I'll share some of that. A little more from the impeachment montage.
Reluctantly, Wolf, I have to say yes.
Is it an impeachable offense, even
Reluctantly, Wolf. Sure, reluctantly. Nobody is reluctantly in the media saying impeach Donald Trump.
The president obstruct justice.
So in terms of impeachment, are you taking action, working with Republicans, or doing anything that would actually move that agenda forward?
Do you harbor any hopes that you will find a conservative legal mind to match your desire to proceed with impeachment?
I think he can be looked at and perhaps even charged with obstruction of justice.
She is such a dimwit. Maxine Waters is a dimwit. Dumb as a box of rocks without the rocks.
Impeachment proceedings.
I beg your pardon?
You mean impeachment proceedings? Impeachment originates in the House. House leadership and the Republican Party has shown no interest in that and seems like it's the furthest thing from their mind. You think that's going to change?
Are you suggesting that President Trump should face impeachment?
No, I'm not suggesting that.
Congressman, what is your case for impeachment?
But now we're talking impeachment. Do you think this is a bridge too far?
Yeah. What do you think of this impeachment possibility? What's more needed to prove obstruction of justice than the president fires the
guy? Chris, you got a little saliva on your chin there. You're just spitting all over yourself.
Coming after him after asking to drop the case. What more do you need?
Is that the impeachment is the remedy. I mean, the president can't.
It's the only remedy.
Yeah, there's
the growing talk, at least, about impeachment within your party. You have Congresswoman Maxine Waters. You have Congressman Al Green, Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard, all talking about impeachment for this president.
You heard Jeffrey Toobin say it would be an obstruction of justice, and potentially, as you know, Senator, that could be impeachable. That could be an
Wishful thinking. That's what this all is. It's all about is wishful thinking. And if it's not one thing last week, it's something else this week. And if it's not one thing this week, it's a month ago. This has been the Democrat Party right now has nothing to show as far as performance and making the country better. The only thing they have in their quiver right now is getting Donald Trump out of office. And I'm going to tell you, if I were a Democrat and that's all the party existed for, get the hell out of the party, because you have no vision for the country or the future. All you have is hate. All you have hate, resentment that Hillary Clinton, the chosen one, got her ass kicked again. Here's Representative Al Green from Texas talking on the House floor about the impeachment of Donald Trump.
I rise today, Mr. Speaker, to call for the impeachment of the President of the United States.
Sit your ass down.
Of America for obstruction of justice. I do not do this for political purposes, Mr.
Oh, dear God. Do you think we're that stupid?
Mr. Speaker, I do this because I believe in the great ideals that this country stands for. Liberty.
Now, Democrats do not stand for the ideals that built the American country. They don't. The previous president made that very clear. They don't respect the Constitution. They don't respect the founding. They hate the founders because they were white men. They look at the country as unfair. But by God, when they want to use the Constitution or they want to wave the flag for political purposes, and that's what this is all about, then they do it.
Liberty and justice for all.
Oh, shut up.
The notion that we should have government of the people, by the people, for the
people. Oh, dear God.
I do it because, Mr. Speaker, there is a belief in this country that no one is above the law, and that includes the President of the United States of America. Mr. Speaker, our democracy is at risk. Cannot allow this to go unchecked. The President is not above the law.
What about when the President sicks the IRS on conservative groups? What about when the president militarizes the EPA? Okay. Well, what about those things? What about when the president lies about a compound in Libya being attacked and four Americans being murdered? What about all those things? Just your bloviating makes me want to vomit. Just honestly sickening. They smell blood in the water. You got Maxine Waters. You got this dipwit. Representative John Yarmuth of Kentucky said that told the local news station that they're actually pretty close to considering impeachment. Mark Pocan, Democrat, Wisconsin, said that there was an impeachment clock. Okay. Representative Jared Huffman, Democrat, California, also joined the discussion, tweeting last week that impeachment will happen if a handful of Republicans in Congress join Dems to put a country above party. Please give me a frickin' break. Dennis Kucinich, former Ohio congressman, Fox News contributor, says there's a danger in engaging in compulsive opposition. And that's what this is. It's compulsive opposition. It is destructive to America to proceed with an impeachment at this stage of the presidency. This is not the first thing you reach for. Because when the first big move a party makes is toward impeachment, it's very difficult for the American people to conclude that it's anything but a partisan issue. in order to impeach the president of the United States, the House must have the support of a majority of members. At this point, no Republicans have voiced support, although I heard one has. Representative Tulsi Gabbard, a Democrat from Hawaii, said she's doing her homework on the issue. She says, I will just say I understand the calls for impeachment, but I am being cautious about, and what I give you food for thought about is that if President Trump is impeached, the problems don't go away. Because did you have Vice President Pence, who becomes President Pence? So that's a problem. And again, that makes it even, that puts the exclamation point on the word politics in this sentence. Kucinich told Fox that Democrats should focus on their ability to impact policy, which could be attractive to Americans in 2018. That's it, guys. And he's the voice of common sense of the Democrat Party. Focus on policy, because all you've got is hate. All you've got is resentment. All you've got is this desire to boot a president who was elected by you and me in an electoral college landslide, because Hillary Clinton would rather have Lady Gaga and Madonna on stage with her than visit coal country. That's all you got in your quiver. You're doomed. You are doomed, because you have nothing positive to offer. And I tell you what, I'm just sick of it. I'm really sick of it. Here's a report from Doug McElway on Fox News about, and this is on Martha McCallum's show, about the possibility of impeachment of Donald Trump.
I think that Donald Trump has already done a number of things which legitimately raise the question of impeachment.
But how legitimate is the intention by congressional Democrats to impeach President Trump? For Republicans, it's evidence the opposition party is becoming unhinged.
Do the Democrats understand they need to control the House of Representatives to impeach somebody?
Yeah.
The Democrats right now are living in an alternative universe.
Democrats are banking on Republicans turning coat if Trump's approval ratings plummet.
If they were to dip into the mid-30s or the low-30s or the high-20s, then you could foresee a situation where Republicans would begin to think that Mike Pence is a much better alternative.
Democrats see at least two potential articles of impeachment. First, Trump's decision not to fully divest from his business empire.
On day one, he was in violation of the Emoluments Clause. This is a...
That's a word. That's Keith Ellison, by the way, from Minnesota. That's his favorite word now, the Emoluments Clause. He had no idea what an Emoluments Clause was before they discovered it and tried to come up with it as a way to impeach Donald Trump.
Part of the Constitution that says, as the president, you can't get payments from a foreign power.
Ellison's charge is based on Trump's children.
What about when you're a Secretary of State?
Now running his businesses. With no blind trust, experts say there is a risk of bribery.
If this results in...
What about giving $100 million to a charitable foundation that spends very little of its money on charitable offerings and helping people? And then rewards a Russian company one-fifth of the uranium mining rights in the United States. What about that?
A claim of bribery, and you can prove bribery by circumstantial evidence or something, that a foreign government is patronizing the Trump Hotel in exchange for some benefit in trade or military sales. That's bribery.
The second potential violation.
And by the way, none of that has happened. None of that has happened. Show me the evidence of that.
Is the Trump team's alleged Russian connections.
Because this president,
oh God,
absolutely was in collusion with the Kremlin.
There's no evidence of it, you bat crap crazy senior citizen who should be working at Walmart.
And Putin in Russia during the campaign.
That, says Fine, is a weak argument.
And obviously what he did wasn't corrupting government. He isn't even president yet, exercising presidential powers. You know, verges on frivolity, in my judgment.
Thank
Indeed,
you.
Republicans say the charges are thus far based on anonymous leaks and hearsay.
Thank we you. Still don't have any evidence of them talking to Russians.
Another explanation for all this impeachment talk is that it is all purely political. With no power in Washington, the Democrats' only recourse is to obstruct at every turn. Impeachment is one strand of spaghetti that they hope sticks to the wall.
He said it very well. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's purely political. They're out of power. They got their asses handed to it. To them. They don't know where to go. They don't know who's listening to them. They don't understand why Hillary Clinton lost. They still don't get it. I saw a Democrat lawmaker from California referred to Middle America as Podunk USA during a committee meeting last week. It's according to the Washington Free Beacon. Representative Anna Eshoo, Democrat, California, oddly enough, during a closed-door Energy and Commerce Committee meeting with the Federal Communications Commission chairman, said that. The moment occurred when Eshoo pushed back against the FCC chairman when he was discussing expanding broadband across access to rural areas. All right? And basically, she wished out loud that the chairman would stop talking about Podunk USA and instead be more concerned about the venture capitalists on Sand Hill Road in her district near Palo Alto, according to Cersei. And this is what the Democrat Party is all about right now. They are only concerned with the bookends of California and New York, the coasts, and they don't give a rat's behind about the center of the United States. And, you know, a lot of those Podunk people, those people from Podunk USA, they vote. And they have real concerns. And if your only goal is impeachment of a president with no other plan for the future of the country, you're going to fall flat on your face. Hillary Clinton has started a new fundraising group, Onward Together. All right? Now, apparently, she will not have to reveal the donors. So she was against dark money in the 2016 campaign. But the group was announced Monday by a former Secretary of State on Twitter as a way to encourage people to get involved, organize, even run for office. Where's the money going to go? Okay, so it's onwardtogether.org. The site's mission statement says it'll advance progressive values and work to build a brighter future for generations to come. What's it going to do with the money? What's it going to do with the money? That's what I want to know. Here's a quote from the website, resist, insist, persist, enlist. Dear God, that's terrible. The site itself indicates the primary function of the group will be to raise money. Should a user sign up, they're taken immediately to a donation page as well as send an email with the link to the donation page as well as an encouragement to chip in. Particularly notable is the group's IRS designation as a 501c3, which of course allows it to take money without revealing donor names. Honestly, it is enough. It's really sickening. Hillary Clinton, dear God, just go away. I mean, after everything they did, the Clinton Foundation, they rolled up the Clinton Foundation. $2 billion had been given to the Clinton Foundation. They didn't build anything. All they did was beg for money, and they got $2 billion. And they got it from foreign governments while she was the Secretary of State. And her husband, the day she became Secretary of State, his speaking fees went from $250,000 to $750,000. And now they're doing this generic, they're raising money. And they want to encourage people to get involved, organize, even run for office. Well, what the hell are you going to do with the money? I want to know what you're going to do with the money. I mean, you can encourage people all you want. What the hell are you going to do with the money? Oh, it's frustrating. And I apologize. Maybe I'm sounding a little strident today. I've had a couple days off of the podcast. I've been, busy doing other efforts and whatnot. But, and I don't like being the guy who defends Donald Trump. I mean, I don't really like Donald Trump. I do like some of the policy decisions he's making. I do like some of the effectiveness of the things that he's doing, like just policy has stopped 70% of illegal border crossings. I like that. I like the fact that unemployment is plummeting. I like that American companies are staying here. All of this stuff. But by God, to 120 days in, be hounding this president for to be impeached is just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Here's Donald Trump talking yesterday to Coast Guard graduation class.
Now I want to take this opportunity to give you some advice. Over the course of your life, you will find that things are not always fair. Look at the way I've been treated lately, especially by the media. No politician in history, and I say this with great surety, has been treated worse or more unfairly. You can't let them get you down. You can't let the critics and the naysayers get in the way of your dreams. I didn't get elected to serve the Washington media or special interests. I got elected to serve the forgotten men and women of our country, and that's what I'm doing. Now I want to take this opportunity.
I think he's doing a good job of it, too, by the way. And I think he's doing a good job of it. We will see. You know, you've got Keith Olbermann, resist, fight, be strong. Hillary Clinton, resist. What is the next? What's the next step? Is it going to be insurrection? Is it going to be a civil war of some type? That's what the left is pushing for right now. I don't know. I really don't know. I'm very disappointed. I think also I'm just kind of really, really freaking sad that Chris Cornell died. All right. I also didn't mention that Roger Ailes, formerly of Fox News, he passed away, 77 years old. And, you know, he's an old guy. but Chris Cornell is no longer with us. It's sad. Okay. I hate to leave you on a negative note here, but I'll bump out with a little bit of Show Me How to Live. You get a chance to check out the Facebook page, Rob Carson Show. You can check it out Twitter. It's Rob Carson. And by the way, I'm getting a lot of followers. Also, the swag line, teepublic.com, teepublic.com. Look for Conservatees, Conservatees. God bless you, Chris. Looking at a poster hanging here in my office to my immediate left, autographed by Mr. Cornell. God bless him. God bless you for listening, guys. Take care. We'll be back for episode 96 real soon.
Thanks for listening to The Rob Carson Show. Friend him on Facebook at Carson Show, on Twitter at Rob Carson, and on Instagram, I think Facebook and Twitter are enough for now. We'll see you soon.